mind. Ephesians chapter number 5, if you don't mind, turn there, please. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians is one of the most sought-after books and a wonderful picture of the love of Christ, the love of God. This book sets forth the wealth of the believer in the union with Christ and really portrays the glory of our salvation, emphasizing the nature of the church as the body of Christ. And when we talk about the book of Ephesians, there's so much in this. It's one of the most picturesque books in the New Testament that Paul wrote. And concerning, and a lot of it is concerning the family and the husband and wife and children. And in that, you won't find Christ out of the picture, but the center of the picture. And so it's tonight, I'm hoping that, trusting that the Lord's going to use tonight the message. You need to pray for me. I've got so much that I am trying to sort out and study. And, Solomon wrote, I believe it's Ecclesiastes, the last chapter. He called himself the preacher. He did. Solomon called himself the preacher. And he said the preacher sought out the words, the acceptable words. Then he put them in order. Then he gave them to the people. And as a preacher, that's exactly what you want to do. You want to set out to seek the acceptable words, the right words that God would have for you, put them in order, and then present them to the people. Well, if you go to my desk right now, you're going to see there is no order. There's a lot of words. There's a lot of studying, a lot of prayers, and just want the Lord to do the work and trusting in that. And a lot of the information that you receive throughout this series is not my own, all of my own. I've adopted a few things from other preachers as well. But it's all about the Word of God. And I hope it's a help to you. Ephesians chapter number 5, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip over in verse number 8, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll skip over and read verse number 8. Ephesians 5, 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Look in verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. And that can only happen through salvation, correct? He says, therefore, walk as children of light. Both in verse 2 and in verse 8, you'll find what's called an imperative. An imperative word. An imperative means that it's a command and not a suggestion. I think I mentioned this before. This word is crucial. This word is an authoritative word, and it's an essential command that you and I should practice. Those words, or that word found in verse 2 and verse 8, is the word walk. You and I are to walk in love. In marriage, it is love that is the foundation, or that is to be the foundation. Our theme verse, and certainly tonight, the title of the message is very simple, a proper pyramid of marriage. A proper pyramid of marriage. Say, preacher, I've been married all this time. You going to tell me if it's proper or not? Listen, sometimes God gives us things, even though we may understand and know it, but to give it to others as well. We're not taught just to absorb. We're taught to teach. Amen? And so what we might learn tonight may not all apply to everybody. But you might get in contact or come face to face with someone that it needs to apply to. And you're going to say, here, let me share something with you. A proper pyramid of marriage. Our theme verse is Joshua 24:15. How many are going to memorize that this month? All right, one, two. I hope that each one of us at least try to memorize it Joshua 24:15, and it's very easy. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the floods, or the gods of your fathers, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And if you don't memorize all of that, all right, at least memorize the last part. But as for me and my house, let's say together, we will serve the Lord. I hope that's your goal. I really hope that's your purpose, your desire, that you want to serve the Lord. Well, a part of serving the Lord has to deal with a marriage. And serving the Lord is part of our marriage. Ephesians 5 is really a premise verse, if nothing else, that accomplishes a lot for us. We are to walk in love, no doubt. And Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesus is to find their place in love. I know many homes you won't find love. I know many marriages are struggling and scraping to come up with love. But you find it that love is based and founded and grounded on Christ. You'll not find the proper love as Christ wants you to love in this world. It's only in Christ. And Christ himself has so much love for us. He created us in love, did he not? He created us in love. Marriage itself has its foundation and its union between the man and the woman all the way back from the book of Genesis. You understand that? The Bible says in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You understand what that word cleave means? Now, the first time I read that, I thought, what does a meat cleaver have to do with marriage? Some marriages I can understand, but in the Word of God, it doesn't mean meat cleaver. It's cleave. It means to hold on to, but not necessarily hold on to. Sometimes when you're scared, your child will hold on to you tightly. It's more than that. Because if you hold on to something, you're liable to let go. Now, before I went into the ministry, and I was a welder, and Amanda understands this, I was a welder for 10 and a half years. Then I went to college, and I welded for another 5 years. I've got a welder at the house. I weld a lot. I enjoy welding. You know what welding does? Welding takes two pieces and puts them together that can't be broken. And the word cleave means just that. That the husband and wife are to be welded together. Now, if you know anything about metal and you try to break a weld, you're not going to break a weld. You'll break the metal either before or after the weld, but you won't break the weld. And that's what God's saying. God designed in love marriage between the woman and the husband and the wife. You'll find not only is in Genesis, but Jesus emphasizes it in Matthew 19:5. He said, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And if that wasn't enough, Paul went ahead and recited it again in Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's unity. That's togetherness. God has designed the marriage. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in Scripture does it say a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his husband. It doesn't say a woman shall leave her father and mother and shall cling to her wife. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that at all. That's contrary to God's word. That's contrary to God's design. It's contrary to God's plan. He created the union of marriage between a woman and a man, and he created it for love. He created it because he loved us, and he created it for them to love one another. You won't find it anywhere else in Scripture. As a matter of fact, the only place that it talks about the union between a man and a man and a woman and a woman is in Romans chapter number 1. Go with me. I want you to read this with me. This is not a marriage vow. This is not a joyful moment. Look at me in Romans chapter number 1. I know I may ruffle feathers and I may get banned from Facebook, but you know something? That's not going to bother me. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Well, what's the truth of God? The truth of God, that is, He designed marriage to be a woman and a man. That's the truth of God. But they changed it. And they began unto a lie, in verse number 25, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. This is a shameful sin. This was the sin of Sodom. That's where we get our terminology, sodomites. Those that are homosexual, lesbian. That's where we get, it's a shameful sin. That's what the word unseemly means. It's shameful. In this passage, this is the most deepest sin. It shows the deepest gravity of man against God, taking that which He had created and foregoing the design of a husband and wife and settling for a husband and a husband and a wife and a wife. My friend, that is against God. It's contrary to His word. It's sin. It's blasphemy. It's gross. And you can just add on to that as you feel. Amen? Are you with me tonight? I'm not asking for a campfire meeting type thing, but I hope you're understanding me. It's not my words, all right? And I mentioned this morning that there are some things that's going to be difficult to hear, difficult to swallow, maybe even difficult to repeat, but it's God's word. Statistics are raging today. And Brother Doug, he's going to check this out. He's like my fact checker. I've got some statistics that are just disturbing amongst our evangelical circles. Here we go. 62% of Americans. 62%, all right? I don't know where the polls come from. I've never been polled before. I've never been asked a question. I've never been contacted. I'm not sure who gets all these questions, but I have never in all my life have been asked a question, or I'd tell them the truth. But I've been and you have to believe the internet, amen? It's all truth on that. It's hard to find. I've told Brother Doug, it's hard to find right statistics. Everybody has their own. And so I found one. It's out of a Christian base. Website, and they said that 62% of Americans don't believe that there's anything wrong with same-sex marriage. 62% of Americans don't believe there's anything wrong with same-sex marriage. But that's not the only disturbing thing. Out of those 62% of Americans, 50% of them that are Christians between the ages of 18 and 29 believe it's okay. Out of our churches, young people between the ages of 18 and 29 believe that it's okay. That tells me that they are not under the truth. They are not being taught properly. And my friend, it is a blasphemous mentality and act against God. And I believe God is disgusted with it. He's disgusted with the state of the physical union between a man and a woman, that bond that He created, that is only for a man and a woman, that has become for two same-sex individuals. And I'm sorry, but it's just gross to me. That's just food for thought. Some marriages have started out wrong. Some have started out in the wrong direction. You may say, well, preacher, we started out in the wrong direction. We didn't start out like we should have. We didn't start out like we're trying to teach our kids or our grandkids. We didn't start out like that. But can I say that I'm hoping tonight will be a help, that we're, even though we didn't start out right, even though our marriages maybe started out on the rocks a little bit, but God says I can help you fix it. God says I can shore it up. And I want to share that with you hopefully tonight, how we can do that and really what has taken place and how we can turn that around. And some marriages, families started prior to marriage. Some have children that were prior to their marriage. You say, preacher, what am I going to do about that? Well, God's merciful, isn't he? God's loving, God's caring, God's forgiving. God's a God of all things. And I would never, ever look down on anyone that may start it out wrong. It's not what you did. It's where you are now. Let's start from this point on and move on for the Lord. And you may say, well, preacher, I married the wrong person. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, you're stuck. Whether you marry the wrong person or not, they're the right one for you now. They're the right one for you now. And God can use it. And God can make you the picture of just what he would have for you to be. And even though you may have started out wrong, you may have married the wrong person, but listen, through this series, for me and my house, I trust God's going to help us. It's helped me. Trust me, I've worked hard these last 3 months after I started studying and realizing my place as a husband. You know, some things just kind of you overlook after a while. And realizing that my wife's sensitive, I need to be sensitive. That's why I put that on the thing, because I had to deal with that. See, all those questions you all are answering are the questions I had to answer. So I didn't want to be left alone, so I just came to you too. And I want you to be part of my crowd, be in my party. And I had to learn these things. See, preacher, I've been married for almost 34 years. Oh, yeah, things happen. You know, we just get used to one another, or we get in a routine or get in a rut. You ever been in a rut before in your marriage? You know, just same thing over and over, one night after another night. Just, you know, so you need to spice it up a little bit. I like spicy food. I like things with a little bit of taste in. I want our marriage spicy. Amen. 34 years. I don't care if our kids see us kiss. I don't mind if y'all see us kiss. We'll kiss every now and then in the church. We do. You can watch. I don't care. If you're married to one another, you can kiss. I just want to specify this, all right? And but you know something? The normal flow of relationship has followed a worldly pattern. It really has. The pattern that many have maybe found themselves in, and even myself, I have to put myself in this category. I didn't start out right. My wife would probably have started out right if she wouldn't have had me. But you have to keep in mind, I was just newly saved. I didn't grow. I had a lot of worldly in my system. And we didn't start out like we should have before God. The world's view on marriage has proven to be a high rate of brokenness. Home splits, children left with parents, no father around due to the lack of a good foundation. There's no good foundation, a foundation that can only be exposed in Scripture, not on TV. You're not going to find a good foundation of marriage on TV. You're not going to find it on the big screen. You're not going to find it certainly in the mainstream media. You may find every nuggets every now and then if you're on the right Facebook, if you got a good friend, they may send you something every now and then, but you can't base your life on the world. You can't do that. You got to have a good foundation. And that foundation is based off love, walking in love. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25, if you don't mind. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. Now, I'm going to be real over this past month, all right? And just going to be honest, because we're all in the same boat. We're trying to paddle the same way. We want to get to the same goal. We want to serve the Lord. We want to be a picture of God. Amen? And don't be embarrassed. Say, preacher, we're perfect. No, you're not. there are some good marriages. I'm going to tell you that. There are some wonderful marriages. but you're not perfect. And always room for improvement. And that's, ladies, that's where you can nudge your husband. There's always room for improvement, right, husband? And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25, it says here, husbands, now that'll perk up your ear a little bit. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What a responsibility. Love your wives. Now, we're not going to deal in this verse now. We will later on. Loving our wife. We're going to deal with husbands. One night's going to be dedicated to husbands. That doesn't mean, wives, you don't have to come. I want you to come because they need an accountability partner, okay? Another night, we're going to deal with the wives. All right? Husbands, you come along because they need an accountability apartment. No, they don't need no apartment. Accountability partner, all right? Let's get it straight. I'm trying to bring you together and not take you apart. And then we're going to deal one evening on the children. We're going to deal on discipline. And that's going to be a big one, amen? And so we all need that. But look with me in verse number 2 of Titus. Excuse me, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. Husbands, love your wives in Ephesians. That's what he says. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look with me in Titus, chapter number 2, verse number 4. Let me just jump up, verse number 3. The aged women, likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach younger women to be sober and what? To love their husbands and to love their children. What a responsibility. Sometimes we like to nitpick and say, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husband. But God says that wives are to love their husbands just as husbands are to love their wives. And husbands, you're submit to your wife in the fear of godliness. That's what the Bible says. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. We are to submit one to another. Listen, God has given us a plan and having a good foundation, and it's based on love, not on submission, although that's a big part of it. It's not based on obedience and honor, young people, but it's still a big part of it. I can't honor and I can't obey and I won't have submission if I don't love. Love is a foundation, and that must be taking place in our life. And so I want to give you something that I hope it'll be a help to you. If you want to create a wonderful marriage and be saturated love and to be produced through the godliness and through the Holy Spirit, and listen, you have to have the Holy Spirit as your foundation, because the Bible says in Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The very first one, love. So you need to have the Holy Spirit. You need to have an understanding of spiritual things in order to have a right, proper pyramid of marriage. And so I hope that I'm going to, Brother Rick's going to help me with this. I think behind me you might see an upside-down triangle, correct? Okay. And I can barely see it on the corner, all right? There's some steps that the world's model, this is a worldly model of how or what I should look for, or the process of getting married or finding that mate. And you say, preacher, like I said, we've been married for a number of years. Some have been married, I've seen, between 50 and 60 years. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. But you know, you have granddaughters and great-granddaughter, and you have a grandson that's searching. You might need to say, listen, what are you looking for? Let granddad just sit down and talk with you. Let grandma say something to you. This is going to be help to you. Here's a worldly process on how they find a mate. Now, you have an upside-down triangle, correct? The first one is physical attraction. That should be on the bottom. The first one is physical attraction. The primary thing that someone looks for when they look for a mate is physical attraction. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't play a factor, but that not ought to be your foundation. That not ought to be the foundation. And the physical attraction is certainly a part of it. It is a part of it. It's a big part of it. I don't want to marry no ugly woman, no. You don't want to marry no ugly fella. I understand that. But that's not what you primarily look for, because that's what the world looks for. It's the foundation that they look for. And by the way, if that's your foundation, if that's what you're basing your mate on, can I just say by experience, your foundation will change? Amen. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, if you're basing your foundation on physical appearance, then I'm going to tell you, in 10 years, that physical appearance will change. If you're basing on physical appearance, I'm going to tell you, the morning after your wedding, it'll change. Our physical appearance, my wife and I, she looks the same as we did years ago. She really hadn't changed a whole lot. Now, I've changed a little bit. I've gotten a little taller and a little more hair. I always say that the Lord didn't make me tall because I'm scared of heights. That's why I'm not so tall. But our physical appearance have changed. You know, I remember our wedding picture. I looked like Don Johnson of Miami Vice. I really did. I had the white suit on. I was just decked out. I couldn't fit one leg in it right now. I couldn't button that coat if I tried. But if she was looking for the foundation of physical attraction, she lost. Because it's gone. We don't look the same. But that's not what we be. If you base that, if your children, if your grandkids begin to base, what are you looking for in a mate? Well, I want them to be handsome. I want them to be pretty. Well, I understand that, but what's your foundation? What are you looking for? It's not the physical attraction. Because if you have physical attraction, then the next one comes in play. Then you have emotional instability. See, if my foundation is built on physical attraction, and all of a sudden something happens to that physical attraction, maybe they find somebody else more physically attracted than you. Now you're emotionally unstable if you're even pretty enough or handsome enough to find somebody. Say, preacher, that's school stuff. Remember, our kids need to know this. Your grandkids need to know this. Instability, emotional instability. Far too many times we play with our emotions. Emotions are for a reason. But sometimes they're a warning sign as well. Listen, too many hearts are broken if your foundation's on the physical. Too many hearts are broken. You don't have to be a school kid. You can be college. You can be an adult and still find that same problem. You're going to have some emotional problems. Marriages are damaged and even destroyed if they're built on the physical and then lean into the emotional. You're going to have problems. And if you have emotional problems or instability, then the next one comes up, then there's going to be psychological movement. Your mind is going to have its way. Emotional plays on the mind. What if the attraction is not there? What if I'm not attracted anymore? I'm an emotional wreck. You see, it begins to play on the mind if your foundation is not correct. You go through life. You've been married 15 and a half years. You base your marriage on the physical attraction. You changed, but the other didn't. Now, there seems to be a psychological problem. I don't think I'm attractive to him or her anymore. I don't think that I draw their attention anymore. Somebody else may be drawn there, and your mind begins to play because you didn't base your relationship on the right thing. You based it on physical attraction, which led to emotional instability, which now is moving in the psychological pattern, and then it impacts your social life. Social impact. You become secluded. You become withdrawn. You become an introvert in society. If you're a church attender, you no longer want to be a church attender. If your marriage is not like it should, you no longer want to minister. You don't have an impact for the Lord anymore. Things happen. It's seemingly falling apart. Now, if you notice on that triangle, we're going up higher. Am I not right? And if I'm correct, the higher I go, the more likely it is to topple over. You have all these things, the physical attraction, emotional instability, psychological impact, social impact. Then the last thing that they look for is the spiritual possibilities. Many that have looked and gotten married, the spiritual possibilities were the last thing on your mind. Are they a spiritual individual? Some, seemingly this is unfortunately the last criteria of many that, and you may have been. You may have been the one that I started on the physical and it went to the emotional and then maybe faded into psychological. And really, yeah, the spiritual thing was the last thing that was on my mind because I was so infatuated with them. Well, can I say that the spiritual thing was the last thing on my mind when I met my wife? Well, she was so pretty. She was attractive. She was an eye catcher to me. And I was attracted to her. I knew she went to a different church. She didn't go to the same church as I did. I didn't know much about her, but I knew she was pretty. So I asked her out to a dance. And she said no. Still trying to get over that, but I'm getting there. But the last thing on my mind was her spiritual health, her spiritual foundation. It was the last thing on my mind. And you may be that way. You may have started out the same way I did. Now, my wife didn't start out that way. Her main focus was my spiritual wealth. She was concerned about my salvation. I had no idea what salvation was. So she was starting out right, I was starting out wrong. But even in that, God does a wonderful work. So it doesn't matter how you start out, it's what you're doing now. So that's what happens in Hollywood. That's the world's view. You know, I want to look for somebody attractive, and you know, things don't happen, you know, things kind of get messed up. Well, then I'm just going to go find somebody else that's more attractive. Well, they don't meet my emotional needs. Well, I'm just going to, you know, sign the papers. That's enough. I'll find somebody else who meets my emotional needs because I didn't base it on the right thing. If you base it on this, then that triangle will teeter and eventually fall over because there's no foundation. You can't have a balanced marriage if it's like that. So, preacher, how do I do it? All right, Brother Rick, let's go to the next slide, if you don't mind. Let's try it again, okay? Let's try it again. Let's just turn everything upside right side up. The first thing, the first foundation that ought to take place in looking for someone or having a relationship, whether you're a young person, whether you're single, whether you're older, you're a widower, looking for somebody else. Hey, I've married widowers and widows to each other. She said, preacher, that's out of the question. That's what they thought, too, until they found one another. She was 78, and I believe he was 80, somewhere around there. They've been married for a number of years, and just sweet couple. Never thought they'd get married again, but they did. And they based it on, not on the physical, but they based it on the spiritual. So you look at this, and the opposite. If my foundation is built on the spiritual and not the physical, it needs to be built on the spiritual. It must be a godly person for them. I must become that godly person for them. What happens today is that you might find somebody that you say, well, I'm physically attractive. They have some interest in church. You know what? I think I can get them to come to church and I can see them saved eventually. Can I tell you that very rarely happens? You may have good intentions at the beginning, but my friend, it very rarely happens. You ought to start out with a foundation that's built on godliness. How's their spiritual well-being? How's their spiritual health? You ought to have a fixed foundation. Listen, nothing's more important than having Christ in their life. Amen. Nothing should be more important than having Christ in your life. And if that's not so, then we need to make it so. Preacher, our marriage is not like that. Then this is what's for you. Our relationship, you know, Christ is not on the bottom. The spiritual is not our foundation. It's other things. It may not be on this little graph, this little chart. It may be something else. But why don't we put spiritual as a foundation in our marriage? It ought to be fixed. It may not have started out right, but we can change that around. A spiritual foundation is based off of love. Not my love and infatuation, but my love for Christ. I love my wife, there's no doubt about it, but she knows and I know that I love Christ more. I have to love Christ more. I must love Christ more in order to love my wife like I should. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. You have a love of God in you that exudes and that goes over, that flows over beyond your love for your wife. You love God more so, and that way you can love your wife like you're supposed to. You love your husband like you're supposed to. My love ought to be based on a godly love, a spiritual love. That spiritual foundation, you know what it'll do? It'll show kindness. I've been in homes where I think the volume was 10. It was nothing but yelling. Been in homes where you had to duck because pots and pans were flying around. You ever been in a home like that? I have. Not my parents' home. No, there was a belt flying every now and then, the paddle. That was flying. And then me flying out the door trying to get away. That was me. That was flying. But I've been in homes where it's so awkward. Been in homes where the atmosphere is hurting. If you have a foundation built on spirituality, if you have a foundation built on Christ, then you're going to display love. You're going to display kindness. You're going to display tenderness. You're going to display patience. Now I didn't have one on the survey, but I could have asked how many are patient with your spouse. Between 1 and 10. And how many would just put 5? You know, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. You know, very seldom am I patient. I'm just an impatient person. That's how God made me. No, that's not how God made you. That's what sin does to you. And God made you to obey the fruits and walk in the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God made you to do. But if my foundation is built on the spiritual, then I will display that love and kindness, joy, comfort. And if that is the home life, that love, that joy, that comfort, that peace, that spills over to the emotional. Now there's an ease at home. I like going home. I enjoy going home. I enjoy spending time with my family. I enjoy spending time with my mom and dad. I enjoy these things. Why? Because the home is built correctly. It's built on a good foundation. It's built on a spiritual foundation. And in that spiritual, that home, there's joy. There's no commotion. There's peace. There's love. There's patience. There's no yelling. There's no fighting. There's no screaming. There's no tension. If it's built on love of Christ, if it's built on a spiritual foundation. I like homes like that. Now, our home has not always been the... I had to learn a lot. My wife is not this way. This is my confession. I'm confessing all before you. I'm going to have to come to the altar after this. I don't know. But I was a yeller for a number of years. Number of years. Preacher, were you a yeller when you were in Bible college? Oh, yeah. That's where the devil tried me the most. I was a yeller. And my anger, man, you know how it is, your anger. I never threw a hammer. Didn't want to hurt nobody or hurt nothing. Or have to fix it anyways. If I threw it, then I have to go get it. So I never threw anything like that. But I just get it. My anger was a troublemaker in my life. And my kids will tell you that. The tension in the home was not where it should be. But I've given that to the Lord. And I can't tell you the last time that I really lost my temper. I can't tell you that. Thank God. I give it all to the Lord because that's a sin nature that's built in us. And some of you are impatient. Some of you are frustrating. You're frustrated easy. Little things will set you off. You may not be a yeller, but you might be one of those quiet anger people, you know. You just go off and you're just quiet. What's wrong? Nothing. What happened? Nothing. What you thinking? Nothing. What's on your mind? Nothing. You know, you're one of those quiet, angry people. Listen, God can do a great work. I want a home, and I strive and I still work to have the home that God's delighted in. One preacher said, you know, he wants a home where he can always invite the Lord to come down and sit. You can always invite the Lord anytime. You come on in and sit. Have some time with us. And I want a home like that, that's gentle. And it can only happen if it's built spiritual, and that will have an impact on your emotion. And then it has an impact, again, on that psychological effect on your mind. It's on your marriage, that psychological effect. If you're built on a spiritual foundation, your mind has no need to wander, does it? Amen? There's a lot of couples today that their mind's wandering when their wife goes to work. Their minds wander when their husband goes to work. Because of the foundation's not built correctly. There's no spirituality. There's no godliness in the home. There's no peace in the home and contentment and joy. And those play on the emotion. And when those things aren't there, my friend, then you have that psychological. But when it's built on that spiritual foundation, there's no need to wonder. There's a trust. There's honesty. That psychological effect on the mind and the marriage is so necessary to have a positive impact. And then when all that's well, then your social life is satisfied. You meet the needs of others. It's not about you. Now it's about others. It's not about my problems and my home. And isn't it now we can draw our attention to the things that God wants us to be drawn to. I don't know about you, but if there's a problem in my life, my mind's not on serving the Lord. Amen? Y'all come, you know, be honest with me, would you? Help me out. Lie to me. I don't care. Just be tell me if you're with me. I mean, when there's a problem, when there's something on your heart and on your mind that's just overwhelming, anger and all these different things, you're not ready to serve the Lord at that time, are you? Not ready to kneel down in a prayer meeting. But when there's that emotional impact and that psychological impact that from that spiritual foundation. Now all this is joyful. Now I can put all my attention to serving God and the things that God wants me to do. And with that, my wife or my husband, our children, our family, we serve together. That's a social impact. That's where you want to strive to. And then the last thing, although it's important, is the physical. That physical is there. It's there in the spiritual. You know what? I had someone come to me and was getting married. And the fellow was a godly fellow, godly young man. And was asked by the girl, do you think he's attractive? Well, I mean, you ask a guy if another guy's attractive, what am I supposed to say? He's a nice-looking fella. And she was afraid he wasn't attractive enough. But you know something? They're married today, serving the Lord greatly today. They're in the ministry today. They have children today. And you know what? She says he's the most attractive man. He says she's the most attractive woman. You know what happened? God was put first, and all this other stuff just kind of fit together. And when you start out in a relationship, now, for some, it may be the second relationship. For some, the third relationship. For some, the fourth. I hope it's not the fifth. If it's the fifth, then we're going to have a little counseling session in my office, all right? But it's where we're at today. And if your foundation, even right now, say, well, preacher, we really didn't start. I don't know where we're at. Well, let's just build the foundation now. And let's say, let's just start tonight, that I want our foundation in our home, in our marriage. Yeah, we're married. Yeah, we're already attracted to each other. But yet, there's sometimes that emotional effect. There's sometimes that psychological, that mind effect. I want us to build a home. I want our relationship to be founded in Christ, founded spiritually. And based on that, and everything else, I'm serious, everything else above that, it'll all happen. It'll all take place. Because if you find it in Christ, and you're grounded in the truth, you're grounded in the Spirit, then love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all these things, it's going to happen. But it has to be grounded in the Spirit. That's why Paul said, I want you to walk in love. I want you to walk in the Spirit. Many times if you study the word walk and you look where we're supposed to walk and look where we're not supposed to walk, it's a very fascinating study. I encourage you to do that sometime on the walks of a Christian, the path of a Christian. But God tells us to walk in love. And if I'm walking in love, my wife will be attracted to me. Wives, if you walk in love, your husband will be attracted to you. See, if I walk in love, then there's no need for her to be emotionally distressed if I'm walking in love. If she walks in love toward me, there's no reason for me to have psychological wonderings. If we walk in love together and we have a foundation of the Spirit, then we're going to have, a Lord willing, a wonderful impact for the Lord in ministry. See, preacher, we're not in ministry. You don't have to be in ministry. You don't have to be getting paid to be in ministry. We're all in ministry. We're all a child of King. We're all a servant of the Lord. And if I walk in love, then every now and then she'll give me a smooch. Every now and then we'll hug. All these things happen if you have a good foundation. Young people, I'm going to tell you this. And I'm going to tell you like a daddy, like I tell our kids. Don't look for your mate now. Because your heart, your mind, and your body is not ready. God will bring them. And when God brings somebody, and you find that one that's got the spiritual foundation, and God will help you. God will lead you. We taught our children. We helped rear our children up in that aspect. And God's got that one for you. Just wait. And they did. And God done a great work. That physical, or that spiritual foundation. Listen, if I live and if I show and I develop that, then all these things are going to take place. If I'm upside down, then God can begin to do a work right now to turn it right side up. He really can. And by the way, this is not an easy fix. I know I'm just going a little over, all right? It's not an easy fix. You know, some have problems that's been stirred up for 20, 30, 40 years. Don't expect it to be fixed overnight. Some have dealt with some issues in your marriage for the last 10 years. Don't expect it to be fixed tomorrow. But you can begin to fix it in two ways. Number one, you get it right with God. You cannot get right with anybody else until you get right with God. See, preacher, you don't know how many things. God does. I don't need to know anything. But you get it right with God. Say, God, I'm this way. God, I've fallen into this. God, I'm walking in this direction. And just start confessing to God the things that where you have fallen short in the marriage, or fallen short in the relationship, or fallen short as a young person, as one of the children. Go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I confess. And God says, I'll forgive you. Then you go to your spouse. Begin being honest. You begin by being transparent. I'm going to tell you, honesty builds trust. You're honest, you're transparent, you bring it out in the open. Let God do some work in your life. Say, preacher, I've got a lot of things. Bring one at a time, all right? You don't want to overwhelm your spouse. Just bring one at a time. Begin to work on it. Say, preacher, I don't think it's going to work. So you're telling me God can't do it? You have no idea. God can do all the things. He loves you more than you love your spouse, and He designed your marriage. He wants your marriage to be the picture, the silhouette of Him. And He'll help you. He'll help us. If He's helped me, trust me, He can help you. I wasn't always this nice, this handsome looking. I wasn't always this way. But God's done a work in my life. You surrender. Be honest. Be truthful with Him. And God will do a great work. Let's bow our heads, shall we? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you this. Is your home, and when I say home, I mean also as family, young people, teenagers, you personally, is it built on a spiritual foundation? See, your marriage, your home, you personally cannot have a spiritual relationship or spiritual home, spiritual impact if you yourself are not grounded on a spiritual foundation. So are you grounded on that spiritual foundation? And by the way, a spirit-filled parent, a spirit-filled grandparent brings joy to a home. Are you grounded? If not, let God do a work, would you?